Appreciate your stepping in to lead worship, and thank you, Bev.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. And let me begin with a question. Have you ever been, let's see if this clicker is going to work today. Got it up there. Can we turn the receiver a little bit this way? Let's see if it works. Got some electronic interference we're trying to figure out here. There we go. Ever been to a Hall of Fame? Anybody here ever been to a Hall of Fame? No? The baseball one is in Coopertown, New York. The basketball one's in Springfield, Massachusetts. And where's the NFL football one? Anybody know? Oh, very good, Merle. Thank you. We used to live near South Bend, Indiana, where the College Football Hall of Fame is located. You know, the Hall of Fame has such a nice ring to it, doesn't it? It recalls famous people, great achievements, records that have been broken, feats of glory, and for some players to be voted into their sport Hall of Fame is one of the greatest accomplishments in their life. So let me ask you this. How do you get into God's Hall of Fame? You know what league that's in, right? The HFL, the Heroes of Faith League. Right? That makes sense, doesn't it? HFL? Yeah. How do you get in? I'm going to show you the answer today and next Sunday. You know what? It's in your Bible. How to get into God's Hall of Fame. So let's think about that. Do you have to be famous? Do you have to be rich? Do you have to be talented to get into God's Hall of Fame? Now, you might suppose so, but if you did, you'd be wrong. You'd be wrong. I wonder how many of you here today were valedictorian of your graduating class. Anybody? Not me. Valedictorian? Salutatorian? How about voted most likely to succeed? Class president? Anybody? Anybody here and selected for who's who? How about who's not? That'd be me, yeah. Now, are those the only kind of people God uses to do great and amazing things? Think about that. You might not believe this, but God's plan is to take ordinary people and do something extraordinary through him. Do you know why? Because then God gets the credit for it. God gets the credit for it. He is honored. He gets glory and praise. You know, God's plan is not just for the who's who or the most likely to succeed people. It's not just for, as Ben Franklin said, those who help themselves. You've heard that quote, right? God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. That was Ben Franklin, okay? God's plan isn't just for those people. So for the next few minutes, I want to examine with you the uniqueness of God's plan and the qualifications to get into his Hall of Fame. So we're going to look at the uniqueness of God's plan and qualifications for God's Hall of Fame. Next week, we're going to look at some illustrations of the kind of people who actually made it into God's Hall of Fame. I hope you'll be here next week for that too. But I want to begin with the Word of God, and our scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 31. I'm going to be using the New International Version. I invite you to follow along in your Bible. It's also going to be on the screen. The Bible says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast where? In the Lord. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of God. Now, the first thing we notice when we start reading this book of 1 Corinthians, which is actually a letter the Apostle Paul wrote, in the first chapter, we notice that Paul is writing to Christians. Look at what he says. He says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So he's writing to Christians. And after greeting them and appealing for unity in their church, he makes a very interesting point about the church, a point that could almost be taken as an insult. So first of all, I want you to consider with me the uniqueness of God's plan. The uniqueness of God's plan. It's unlike any other religion in the world, okay? That's why we say it's unique. Unique means what? The only one of its kind, okay? Now, think about what Paul said to these people. If I was building a church, if I was starting a church, I would probably do things differently. Look at what he says. He said, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Now, here's something very strange. If it was up to me, I would get as many of those kind of people in my church as I possibly could. Okay? To understand why not many of these types were called, we need to first of all have a proper understanding of the kind of good news that we preach and believe. What is the good news of the gospel? Help me out here. What's the good news of the gospel? Who's it about? Jesus Christ. What happened? He came and died on the cross for our sins. What happened after he died? Well, first of all, they did what to him? After he was crucified, they buried him. Thank you. He was buried for 3 days, right? And after 3 days, he rose from the dead. What happened after he was rose from the dead? He was seen by over 500 people. That's a very important part of the gospel. Okay? He was seen. That proved that he rose from the dead, okay? So that's the gospel, and if you believe that, you can become a child of God if you follow Christ, okay? So since the church is God's doing, okay, it's his doing, we must understand that it's up to him who becomes a part of the church and how they get there. It's not enough for someone to say, I want to join God's group, please let me in, and then we take a vote and let them in, and they become part of the church, then that's the end of it. That would be like a club. Okay, that's what clubs do, all right, run by its members. Instead, the Bible says that you must come by faith in the cross of Christ. Okay, you must come through faith in Christ by means of the message of the cross, that Christ died on that cross for the sins of the sinner. No other message or reasoning will do and get you into the church, okay? Folks, listen, you could sit there until the world looks flat, and it would never occur to you that you must put your faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross to save you from your sin. You'd never figure that out on your own. I wouldn't either. It doesn't make any sense. So entrance to God's hall of fame is through faith in Christ alone. God's plan is so unique because that message is foolishness. It is foolishness to the unsaved mind. Okay, look with me and look at how men react according to the Bible. He says the message of the cross in verse 18 is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved is the power of God. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and foolishness to Gentiles. Here God, through the inspired pen of the Apostle Paul, emphasizes that eternal salvation is in Christ alone. It's in Christ alone. It is not in the wisdom or great thoughts of men. Because Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God in person, because he is the source of our salvation, no human being can boast about being saved and being a child of God. And that's exactly what Paul says. He says, so that no one may boast before him, it is because of him that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it's written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. And then Paul goes on, he says, when I came to you, brothers, I didn't come with you with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was among you except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul says, well, I wasn't a polished speaker. I didn't come in with great illustrations and wow you. I just preached Christ. I preached Christ and him crucified. The gospel in its simplest and purest form is about Jesus' death on the cross for you and me. Now, why is that? Because the Bible says, maybe you memorize this verse like I did when I was in Sunday school, Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Way back in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam, he said, don't eat of that fruit. You can eat all the rest of the fruit. Eat of that fruit. And the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Right from the beginning, God told us out of the gate, penalty for sin is death. And that's why we need a Savior to come and die in our place. Folks, if someone tells you the gospel is different than that, that if it's about another person, another man, take your Bible out and show them what it says, okay? And if they persist in proclaiming salvation in some other name, they're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're preaching another gospel, and it's not good news, it's bad news, okay? Because they're in danger of being eternally damned if they don't put their faith in Christ. You see, God's ways are often the exact opposite of our ways. The Bible says, Jews demand a sign, a miraculous sign. Gentiles, the Greeks, seek for wisdom. He said, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. The message of the cross made no sense to both Jews and Gentiles. Didn't make any sense to either one of them. How could the Savior of the world die on a cross? Only criminals died on crosses, folks. In fact, Jesus' followers had a real problem with that after he died. It's like, how could this happen to him? That's what happened to criminals. In fact, Jesus Christ does not make any sense at the court of human wisdom. Do you remember the wise men in the Christmas story? Do you remember where they went to look for the newborn king? Where did they go? First place they went. Do you remember the city? No, it's a good guess, though, because Jesus was from Nazareth. But to find the baby, Jerusalem. And they went to the palace, because if a prince was going to be born, where would a prince be born? In the palace, in the city's capital, right? That's where they went. And if it hadn't have been the miraculous guidance of God by the Christmas star, they never would have found the humble place where the child lay, folks. You can't figure out Jesus by human wisdom. And that was true from the beginning, okay? It was illogical. It was counterintuitive that a baby who was the king of the Jews would be born in a manger, okay? You'd never figure that out on your own. And the wisest men in the world couldn't figure it out. God had to show them. Why? Because you and I cannot reason out God's ways. Can't do it. If God were to send a great, logical, educated, reasoning man to proclaim his truth, where would be the power of the cross? And the people who received the message and were saved through such a message, what would they say, converts to such a Savior say? They would say, I found it. I figured it out. I'm better than you are. That's what would happen. That's what happened. Where would be the power of the cross? But what does God say? In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the Bible says, it's not by works. It is not by works. It says, it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. Why? So that no one can boast about it. No one can boast about it. No Christian should boast. We can't boast. It's all God's work. If the gospel of Jesus Christ were of man's wisdom, then the cross would be emptied of its power to save. And that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:17. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And then he adds, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. And that brings us to the precise reason that God has chosen the kind of people he has for his church. And that's so his matchless wisdom can be shown. If all he did was pick wise people would say, oh, look, a great group of wise people. But because we're not all wise, people have to say, God had to do that. God had to do that. Okay, so this is why it's so hard for some people to trust God. They want to figure out salvation on their own terms. But it's a unique plan, unlike any other. Salvation was, is, and always has been a unique plan on God's terms, so you have to trust him. You have to trust him. And once you've done that, then how can you become the kind of person that God will use to do great things? And that brings me to the qualifications to get into God's Hall of Fame. How do you get in there? How do you get qualified? Well, in God's program, in his league, the HFL, the Heroes of Faith League, okay, in that league, not many of certain kinds make it. Look at what the Bible says. Brothers, think of what you were called when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Now look at this. Not many what? Not many wise. Not many influential. And not many of noble birth. Not many wise, that's the intellectuals. Not many influential, the King James says mighty. Literally the word means the well-born. Oh, that's the noble. The well-connected are the influential. Noble means well-born, okay? Not many of those kind of people make it. And it's important to know what's important to God. Not many wise. It's not scholarship, folks. It's about your relationship to God, okay? Not many degrees you have, it's who you're related to. The Bible says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The key is to be born of who? God. That's why we call it being born again. Then he says, not many influential. Not many influential. The King James there says mighty. It's not your ability, it's your availability to God that decides whether God can use you. It's not how politically well-connected you are, it's are you available to God? And then he says, not many noble. It's not who you are, it's whose you are, okay? America and the world was just taken up with nobility in the last month or so, remember? Prince who? Harry and who? Meghan who? Markle, you've heard those names, haven't you? That's the nobility, right? Everybody's enamored with nobility. Not many noble make it into God's church, okay? It's not fame, it's faith. When you go to Hebrews 11 and you look at God's Hall of Fame, they all got there by what? Faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, it says over and over, okay? So God doesn't say, not any wise. Just look at what he says. Not many. And he repeats it three times. Not many wise, not many noble, not many influential. Not many of these kinds. He doesn't say not any. So if you're somebody, there is still hope. God just has to do more work with you. Right? What does James say? He says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So if you want to go up in God's elevator, you've got to push the down button. Remember that, okay? Humble yourself. Don't pray for God. God can humble you. He says humble yourself, okay? A professor I had in school observed this. He said, from this passage and many others in the New Testament, it appears that the vast majority of the converts to the Christian faith were from the common or the lower class of people. Now, that's not a put down at all. Jesus says in Matthew, he says, I praise you, Father. Let me get the next picture up here. There we go. I praise you, Father, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Interestingly, God's program for building churches is in sharp contrast to the modern program of church building. Many church planners will ignore the poor and lower classes of people and concentrate instead on reaching the upper or the middle. Better class. Why? On the theory that such people make a more stable congregation. But such is not God's plan. So the question then is, who meets these qualifications, okay? Who meets these qualifications? The answer is everybody who follows Jesus Christ meets these qualifications. Friends, it doesn't take much of a man or a woman to follow Christ. It just takes all of him or her. That's all. God asks you to be fully devoted to him. What does that mean, fully devoted? It means you have no idols in your life. Nothing else that you put before Jesus. Anthony Campolo, in his book, The Success Fantasy, writes about the kind of people that Jesus chose to be his disciples. Let's even get the next picture here. Can you help me out back there, Dave? There we go. The kind of people God chose Jesus for his disciples. It's interesting to note that Jesus didn't choose his disciples from among those who held prestigious positions in society. Instead, who did he choose? He chose a couple of fishermen, a tax collector, and they were bad people in those days, folks. They were bad people. And he chose two troublemakers who were called sons of thunder. You want to guess why they were called sons of thunder? They talked a lot, okay? Some of the women who followed Jesus were unimpressive, and one had a reputation so low that people murmured against the Lord for associating with her. Okay? God could not have made it any plainer that he wants to use ordinary people, people like you and me, to build his kingdom and to serve him and bring glory to God. Folks, this is good news. There is a place for every Christian in the church, not just people with great talents or ability. Isn't that wonderful good news? Isn't that great? Wow. So it's not as tough as you thought to be in God's Hall of Fame in the HFL League, right? What league is that? HFL? Heroes of Faith. You're right, Heroes of Faith League. It's not that tough to be in the Hall of Fame. The hardest part is learning to trust God and not your own understanding. And once you've believed the message of the cross and trusted in Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're qualified to be in the Hall of Fame. Isn't that great news? Man. And so, listen to me, and so are all our neighbors and friends. They're qualified to be in there too if they'll follow Christ. And that's why our job is to invite everybody to follow who? Jesus. They don't have to become a member of the church to follow Jesus. They just have to follow Christ. I tell people, if you meet me and forget about me, it doesn't matter at all. You meet Jesus and forget about him, it matters for a long time. I just want to be a road sign and point people to Jesus. And that's easy to do. So let me ask you this. If you're not a Christian, why not? Now, maybe you have some legitimate questions you're struggling with before you become fully devoted to Christ. I understand that. And the Bible has answers to our questions. That's one thing I love about the brethren. The brethren have always said, look, let's get our Bibles out and see what it says. They weren't like, we'll tell you what to believe. The Bible has the answer. The Bible has the answer. If you're having a hard time finding answers, call me. Let's get together. Maybe I can help. But if you're thinking that you're okay because you come to Bible study in church and you put money in the offering plate, think again. That won't make you a Christian any more than coming to my house and sitting in my chair and giving me money will make you a Becker. It doesn't work that way, okay? If you've heard the gospel before and understand what you need to do, but you haven't trusted Christ yet, I urge you to do it today, before it's forever too late. And if you are a Christian, are you doing great things for God yet? Next picture, please. Help me out. Thank you. I like this quote. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Do you want to do great things for God? If you do, great. God is waiting to use you to do something awesome for him. Continue to trust him. Get into your Bible. Get your Bible into you. Obey what you find there. It's that simple. And you have God's promise that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will do what? Direct your paths. Folks, God will use you. You have his word. What are you waiting for? What else do you need? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your amazing grace. Thank you for your unique plan to save and use imperfect people, failures to build your kingdom. Lord, encourage us today. Give us Jesus' eyes. Give us his eyes to help grow our church. Help us look for your people and invite them to follow Jesus with us as we struggle honestly with life, that you might get the glory through using imperfect people to build your kingdom. I pray for each one here today, Lord, you'll encourage them with the truth of your word, that they might serve you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name.